whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Shoot, yeah, here we go. It is hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're about 20 minutes from chatting with Stuart Mandel of The Athletic. He'll give us his thoughts on the college football playoffs, which get underway tonight. Time now for a sports hodgepodge, though. Here's the Chief.
All right, you get one game. For the next 5 days, we are going to be inundated with high-stakes football, college and NFL. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. You get one game. What's going to be the best game of this next five-day stretch? 877-881-1053. Would it be one of these college games tonight or tomorrow, or would it be one of the wild-card NFL games coming up this Sunday? I think I would go all in on Packers and Eagles. I think that would be, if you gave me one game to sit down and watch, I think that would be the game for me. But also, Jaden Daniels versus Baker Mayfield, just a couple of gunslingers cutting it up with two soft defenses, that could be fireworks and a bit of a barn burner. So what say you guys? You get one game over the next 5 days that you get to sit down and enjoy, kid-free, wife-free. What's the game?
I mean, I think it's got to be Texas-Ohio State just for the relevance inside the state and, you know, the opportunity to get people really excited here to be heading for a national championship game is, you know, something we haven't had for a while as far as the Longhorns, which, you know, I believe is the largest alumni base or maybe the largest fan base here inside the great state. So, but, yeah, I'm fascinated to see if, you know, Sarkisian can, you know, get the job done and Quinn Ewers. I just think the local tie-in is a bit too much for me to turn down.
I agree. I would go Texas and Ohio State as well. And these teams have a history of playing really, really exciting football games. You look at, oh, Eliza's here. I got Baby here making an appearance. She's pumped for this game, too. But, yeah, I mean, you go back to Lima Swede in the back of the end zone from Vince Young. That was amazing. And then Quan Cosby getting a big win the last time they played in the Fiesta Bowl. I'm hoping for drama like that. The two most talented teams in the country, in my opinion. Don't you think, Boo Boo? Yes, you do. We're going Texas and Ohio State.
Yeah, I tell you what, I have interest in the Texas game because of Bennett, of course. Want to see him, you know, get to go to a national championship game. But I really do. I like what you're going with the Philadelphia Green Bay game, though, Eric. I think, and I have interest in Denver and Sean Payton and the friendship I have with him. But I want to see Philadelphia get knocked off. And I know, and that's my old both my old teams there. But I really do want to see if Green Bay can go in there and do what they did to Dallas, last time around, last year. So, anytime you get to see Philly get beat, I think there's a lot of the two quarterbacks and stuff, the questions about the teams, the receivers, the running game and all that, how you're going to play defense. Boy, a one and done for Philly would do my heart really good from a selfish standpoint.
Yeah, it would be hilarious. I'll be hate watching the Eagles for sure. And that's two really, really good defenses. And the Eagles apparently have faced the NFL's easiest schedule of defenses this year. So that's an interesting nugget as they go to take on the Packers. And the Packers just don't give up any explosive plays. You alluded to it earlier, Broadus. But, I mean, they gave up a 40-yard play to A.J. Brown in the first game of the season. They have not given up a single 40-yard play the rest of the season. And every other defense has at least like six plays of 40 or more yards given up. So the Packers have really limited the explosives. And then with the Hurts concussion factor and Jordan Love a little bit banged up, mm-hmm. I mean, that could obviously change the game immediately if one of those guys comes up limp in the middle of the football game. But going to be a ton of fun this football weekend. Cannot wait for it. Now, I did want to bring this to the table because We've seen so many athletes' homes get burglarized over these last few months in the NFL, in the NBA. I mean, all over the place. Superstars and kind of low-key dudes all at the same time. We've seen it here with Luka, Burrow, Mahomes, Kelsey. Tyler Sagan even in November had it happen to him. So it's kind of running rampant right now. And ESPN had an interesting article where they kind of did a deep dive on on what's going down here. And so they actually had Bobby Portis Jr., NBA player. He had his home broken into in Milwaukee or West Allis, Wisconsin, back in November. And he finally just released some of the security footage of what happened. And, basically what you're seeing, like, these guys are well thought out.
Coordinated.
And yeah. Well, they're super coordinated. And this surveillance video that he posted showed the invaders wearing hoods and masks, of course, hide their faces. But they're also wearing hazmat-style protective suits, which hid other identifying features and possibly helped ensure they left no DNA for police to trace. And their methods, like others in the recent spate of burglaries, were clean, sterile, and they appeared to have mapped out the house layout and studied their victims far in advance. The only sounds on the video are of a power tool and some muffled conversation involving Spanish phrases. These guys are super, super dialed. But they're saying, like, law enforcement officials said that they've seen nothing to establish a link among all these different incidents. So it's not like they're like dialed on one particular group of people or whatever. But it is, they're coming away with obviously a lot of special stuff here, high value items. And the other thing that they're able to do is, because a lot of these guys have pretty substantial surveillance and security systems in place, but they're able to go in there and jam up the Wi-Fi or whatever and completely neutralize whatever it is from a security standpoint you have. And they're in, they're out, boom, boom.
So like Mission Impossible, like flip a switch on a little box and kind of make everything crazy or go off and stuff like that?
Yeah,
if you're watching people rob a jewelry store or something like that?
Yeah, but it's not like smash and grab.
But I'm saying, like, they go down to the floor, they go through,
they hack their entire house.
They're high end. Yeah, high end.
Super high end.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like jamming your Wi-Fi, take your cameras out. Sounds like you might have got the idea going viral across criminal communities, and they're like, man, this seems like the lick to be hitting right now. I think, as I said 6 weeks or so ago as this story broke out, I think you got to go next level with your deterrence. I suggested maybe some non-venomous king cobras, like you have those snake charmers. The snake pops up, but what they don't tell you, they took out the venom sacs. Okay, so you can have these, you can have 10, 12 snakes running around your house. They're not going to hurt you. They're not constrictors. They're not going to wrap you up. They're just thinking that they still have venom, and the robbers don't know any different. So that's what I suggest.
That's honestly, it's a brilliant idea. I think at this point, there's no bad ideas. You got to be pulling out all the stops here. And I do think you're going to need to get some real life security dudes out in front of your house. You know what I mean? You can't just depend on the technology now because the sophistication is at an all time high. So just beware. Beware out there. Little baseball nugget for you.
I think I like ran the numbers or something, and it gets too expensive. Like $60 an hour for an armed guard around the clock for, multiple weeks or months out of the year. That's going to run you a ton.
Could you do it while you're on the road? Could you set up a small little army while you're on the road those 4 or 5 days? And, those dudes make, millions and millions of dollars.
So don't have the capacity.
Yeah, it would seem that you could, pay a little army to stand out in front
of
the house.
Tell you what, South Africa, you don't see a house that doesn't have an armed guard out front and a bunch of barbed wire along the front there. That's like everyday life in South Africa and Johannesburg.
Mm. Man, yeah, they're going to have to really start pulling out all the stops here. It's pretty crazy stuff. Now, I saw that you had Rangers' new first baseman, Jake Berger, pretty fired up for playing with Bochy, and he said that Boch lives really close to him in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So they had a couple of conversations out on the golf course. Awesome guy, fired up to play for him. How about Berger bombs on the golf course? I bet that dude is swinging a heavy stick when it comes to those drives, dude.
It is incredible when you get out of here with some of these professional athletes and baseball players. You know, the pitchers are so tall and powerful. Obviously, some of the big hitters. But, I mean, they go out, and then it's almost like that you turbocharge about 150, 200 yards out, and the ball just jumps. Oh, and it's, you know, tanks. You're looking at 350, 375 with some of these dudes if they can hit it straight.
I'll tell you, the most amazing golfers I've ever played with are hockey players. Because, like, you're talking about, Dawson, those shots come like they're off an aircraft carrier where they're flat, like you said, and then all of a sudden they just take off with elevation. Uh-huh. But those hockey players, they can strike it, and they're really – and they'll take your money like anybody else.
Those athletic hips.
Yeah.
You know?
Turn on it.
It's all in the hips. Yep. It's all in the hips.
That's right. R.I.P. Chubbs. Okay, let's go ahead. And you guys remember when Shane Gillis was getting after Nick Saban on game day?
Mm-hmm.
And
is he back? Is he back for another one?
Saban was getting so butthurt. And I'm
paying everybody.
Walchuk, are we going? Are we going to Shane Gillis on Saturday night? It's going to be thawed out, bro.
It's going to be thawed out. My ticket guy didn't come through, so I think I'm going to wait day of, see if prices drop a little bit. But I'll be there. I'll end up going no matter what.
Bullies in the building at the AAC Saturday.
Sound like
night.
Bennett trying to get that ticket at Texas game that Dad had to come through.
Yep. I needed my dad to come through, but unfortunately he said, you're on your own here, son.
Okay.
Well, we finally got the Shane Gillis perspective. We've heard since the game day night a couple of weeks ago, Saban's been on McAfee. He's clearly salty about Shane Gillis calling him and the SEC out for paying players and cheating over the course of his entire tenure. He did not take it as a joke. Nick Saban didn't, but here's Shane Gillis talking on a podcast about the entire situation and his whole perspective on just completely crushing Nick Saban on game day.
That's why I spazzed and talked on Saban, like, the because he was like, "What do you think about the game?" And I was like, "I don't know. Nick Saban cheated." It was just a full spaz.
It was so good, though.
I mean, that I'd like to explain that, because that was so. After I said that, we had to go into the stadium to sit at the desk. Then I got in there, and right before we go on, he looks at me and he's like, "I heard what you said." And I was like, "Holy shit." And then Herb Street and McAfee were like, "He's just breaking your balls, dude. He loves messing with guys. Like, he's literally just." And I was like, "Oh, all right. I'll with him back." I would have never done that if I thought he was serious.
Yeah.
But they told me he was around, so I started with him. And then as soon as we get done, I tell Herb Street and McAfee, I'm like, "Bro, he was definitely serious." And they were like, "No way he was serious. Go talk to him." So I went up to him after news, like, "You think the SEC dominated because we cheated? That's bullshit." And he spazzed on me.
Were you helping him?
But then, so he was still on the stage and I was on the field. So after he yelled at me, I had to help him down. And he, like, looked around to see if anybody else could help him. But I had to help him down.
Anybody else, please.
That's an amazing perspective there from Shane Gillis. He's got Herb Street and McAfee going like, "No, dude, he's just messing with you." And it was very evident on and off camera, Saban was not happy about his integrity being questioned there from Gillis. Now, I do also, I'll throw this in here as well. We have the annual license plates that were custom and rejected from
I just got some
states.
New ones.
You got custom license plates?
LSU ones.
Oh, did they say Krusty on the back?
I wish I'd thought about that. I didn't. I just,
Next year,
yeah. But I went for the initials in my jersey number on my LSU plates. That's what I did.
Well, the state of Louisiana has released their list of rejections from people who are trying to get specific custom license plates.
Yeah, I should have thought of Krusty. God darn it.
Got to be Hawk 2 of the number one, right?
Dude, you nailed it. Yes, bro.
Oh, have we even heard from her since this crypto thing happened? Is she in, like, witness protection now?
Well, yeah, you know, I would imagine she's just gone silent from her lawyer's request.
Did she steal from people? Is that what she did? Did she steal?
I mean, not technically, but I think it's investor fraud.
Oh, jeez.
You know, she told everybody, "Hey, I'm launching this thing. It's going to be amazing.
And you send her money and stuff?
Come over here." And she posted on X, "Hey, here's where you go buy it." And so everybody started buying it up. Well, her and the other insiders had like 80% of the – of the supply. So as her fans started coming in and throwing millions and millions of dollars at it collectively, they were selling it all off. And, the SEC is going to frown on that.
Yeah, she's probably in the Philippines somewhere right now.
Yeah, she's laying low.
She's got a wig on.
But Hawk Tua is still trying to stay relevant here. That was the number one rejected custom license plate in the state of Illinois. Among others, a bad MF. Munch was another one.
Hey, you thought I was filling you?
What's wrong with Munch?
You're just a munch.
Yeah, I guess there's some connotations involved. Mm. I don't know.
Okay.
You don't know what a munch is, clearly, huh? You don't know what a munch is?
No, I don't. Uh-uh. No, I got to Google it.
Pac-Man.
That's ChatGPT.
Yeah, Scatman.
Wagga, 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 wagga.
Scatman. That's a munch.
Yeah.
You still not getting it?
He's looking.
I get it.
Okay,
get it.
All right. I'm looking at dialed. Dawson, really.
Nope, I have no clue.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. I told y'all, bro.
Hit that Urban Dictionary.
A casual eating, number one. Number two, a kink community gathering.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe I should ask for more information on that. I'll go over here to Urban Dictionary.
Illinois is doing some kink shaming, I guess. But there it is. There's your hodgepodge.
Thank you, sir. Eric Chiafalo's Sports Hodgepodge, most days here with you in the G-Bag Nation. We're set to talk with the athletics college football expert, Stuart Mandel, about this game. I think he is in town getting ready for tomorrow night's as well. So we're talking more college football playoffs with Stu coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation, the fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. And we are fired up for the college football playoff, the NFL playoff, and we're about to talk with the athletics Stuart Mandel here in the Nation. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. And a good afternoon, Stuart. How the heck are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm happy to be here in snowy Dallas, having not left my hotel room in 24 hours.
Yeah, I was wondering if you made it in okay. I guess you got in before the cold and the wet stuff, huh?
Yeah, I got in yesterday, and I'm glad I did. It sounds like this would not be a good day to be flying in here.
No, sir. So best of luck to everybody on their way. Now, how much of a favorite is Ohio State here? How surprised would you be if the Longhorns can pull this off tomorrow night?
I would be mildly surprised if the Longhorns pull it off, but I also don't think Ohio State can do to them what they did to Tennessee and Oregon, because Texas has such a great defense, and it's been that way all season, save for one quarter where Cam Scattergoo kind of had his way with them. You know, Ohio State has all these weapons on offense. Jeremiah Smith is amazing. But, you know, Texas is stacked on defense. I'm really excited to see the matchups in the secondary with those receivers. And Will Howard has been unbelievable in the first two playoff games, but we know from the season that he can commit turnovers, and Texas is very good at that as well.
Hey, Stuart.
So are you, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Stuart. I was curious because I'm thinking about Ryan Day here and all the things he went through after the Michigan game. The fact that they've made a little run, has that bought him any relief from this, or is it still Ohio State still has standards? Unless he wins the national championship, there's still going to be critics of his.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I've been asking people around Ohio State, and it's, you know, if they win the national championship, you're going to mostly forget about where things were a month earlier.
Sure.
My question was, if they lose this game, what's the reaction? Because now they're, you know, whereas we weren't sure if they were going to win the first game, now they're expected to win the national championship. And look, I think the answer is people wouldn't be thrilled about it. But the good news is he's shown, they showed life, and they showed, that they can still be competitive with the top teams in the country, including the number one team in the country, in the Rose Bowl. I also just am curious to see, like, I'm still not sure he's not going to get fired by any means, but is he going to still try to find his way out?
Sure.
Because everything that we've heard about, threats to his family, all that stuff is still real, whether they win the national championship or not.
What are you hearing about Quinn Ewers and your expectations for him going into this game? Do you think that he is going to be hitting the portal? We've seen some rumors about Notre Dame maybe being a favorite to land him if he does.
First of all, I expect him to play well. I was really encouraged by, I mean, you're down to 4th and 13, and your season's on the line, and to deliver what he did was pretty impressive. And especially he, you know, for all the criticism that he hasn't been as great since that injury. Every player in the country is being pursued at any moment. So I am sure there are schools that have been pursuing Quinn Ewers for some time, especially if they don't think he's necessarily going to turn pro anymore. We just saw Carson Beck from Georgia is entering in the portal. It was just assumed he would turn pro, and maybe he still will, but even he's thinking about transferring. So I don't have any enough specifics to speculate on that. But I'm sure those conversations have taken place. That doesn't necessarily guarantee he's leaving, but, you know, he knows that how popular Arch is, and it's probably not realistic that they would continue in the he's the starter, Arch is the backup for another year.
Stuart, back to Ohio State for a second. Like, what do you know about how they sort of just flipped this switch after the Wolverine loss, and now they're playing at the height of their powers? What changed for them?
Well, I think they've always had this in them. I got the sense all season they were wearing the expectations of the star-studded team and the $20 million roster, and they had to be perfect. And you saw often during the season they weren't living up to that, and then obviously it blew up in the Michigan game. And I do wonder, there's no way to prove it. After that, was there a we have nothing to lose mentality? Because certainly in the play calling, it's been a lot more aggressive. These last two games, there's not a we've got to show how tough we are, we got to show how physical we are. It's more like we've got Jeremiah Smith, we've got Emeka Ogbuka, try to stop us, we're going to throw down field. And I don't know if that will be the plan against Texas. Certainly Texas will probably be able to get more pressure on Will Howard, but it does seem like they're playing with more of a nothing to lose attitude.
Stuart, you get one quarterback. There's four remaining. What's the quarterback that you would want to be going to battle with out of the four remaining?
Yeah, great question. Probably Will Howard, but with Drew Aller rising up the charts pretty fast. I was at the Fiesta Bowl. He made some big-time NFL throws in that game, and I feel like not just him, but the offense, the Penn State offense, have come a long way since that loss to Ohio State. The home loss, early November, 20-13. Everybody was like, yep, another year of, Penn State doesn't have anything going for them on offense. But they got a lot more explosive. They were very explosive in the Oregon game, in the Big Ten Championship. And then we saw more of that against Boise. Now, maybe I'll look like an idiot for saying that in 2 hours when they go up against a very, very good Notre Dame defense. But Drew Aller's got that talent. He's doing this, by the way, they don't have much of a receiving threat at all. Tyler Warren is there. The tight end is their receiving game. So, yeah, that's a hard situation for a quarterback to perform well in.
Stuart, you've covered this game for such a long time, and I just was curious, I'm going to take you away from the playoff games, because you're starting to hear things about that college football needs the commissioner. Do you agree that it needs somebody to look over, be the steward of all of college football? Is that even possible? And is Nick Saban really a guy that should be a college football commissioner?
It's not really possible in the current structure of college football, where the conferences basically run the sport. And they have the SEC, Greg Sankey, has no motivation to say, I now report up to Nick Saban.
Sure.
Whatever that would look like. But I do think the reality eventually is that college football as a whole, and I don't know if that will be all of FBS or a subsection of FBS, will probably break away from the NCAA and the rest of college sports and become its own kind of entity with somebody running it. But I don't know if that's in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I just know that it's become it's a different enterprise. Nobody can pretend that it's an amateur enterprise. It's an academic enterprise at this point. It is a big, big business that supports all the other sports. And, at some point they're just going to say, heck, let's just do whatever will make the most money.
What do you think about
it's a Stuart Mandel of the Athletic talking college football here with you on the Fan. Wolchuk, my bad.
No, you're fine, Stu. I just was wondering about the new college football playoff. First time we've seen it in the 12-team format. And it's funny because I don't know that you'd even have the Final Four that we have now with the old structure. What have you liked in year one, and what are some things that you think they still need to kind of fix possibly moving forward?
It's accomplished, I would argue, the two things that it was established for. One, in making more schools and more parts of the country involved. For ASU to be a big part of this, Indiana, SMU, Boise State, like these are in the 14 playoff, those schools would have never made it, right? So you've got more schools that are, you know, whose fan bases are experiencing the playoff, whose star players like Cam Scataboo are getting national attention. And then the most surprising thing to me, and I wrote about it this week, is the playoff didn't kill the bowls like everybody said it would. It enhanced them. The viewership for those, you know, Pop-Tarts Bowl, Alamo Bowl, yeah. Birmingham, like they're all up. They were all up, and in some cases up big. And I think that what that is, there's a lot of theories, obviously, but college football used to get to the conference championship games, and that was like the apex, and then it just went away for 3 weeks. And it was very sleepy, and then we resurfaced 4 weeks later, on New Year's Day. College football never went away this year. It was like that. We ended the regular season, and 2 weeks later, we had first round games, and then a quarterfinal. And I just think in general, it interest, in, you know, especially when you're going up against the end of the NFL season and the beginning of the NFL playoffs, interest has remained very high in college football. So there are definitely things that need to be fixed. To your point, I mean, they got to fix the seeding issue. Oregon should not be playing a number one seed. Should not be playing a higher ranked team than Penn State played in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
That needs to be fixed. But that to me is just a format tweak. The actual like overall system, I think, in the first year has been great.
First year for UT, great timing there in the SEC. What kind of success do you expect them to continue to have?
They're really well set up. I mean, it's pretty amazing that this school that a couple of years ago people were saying was going to get kicked around in the SEC is the last SEC team remaining in the playoff. And credit to Sark, who has built it the right way, starting with the lines of scrimmage. They've got great NIL support, obviously, to get the kind of kids they get out of the portal. So they're very well set up, but it's a conference of 16 teams, and half of them have everything you need to win the SEC in any given year. So I don't know that you're going to keep going to the Final Four year after year after year, but you can certainly be in that conversation and in contention most years.
Belichick going to be in this thing next year?
Good question. Probably not, but, you know, I'm not going to quite rule out or totally question the Super Bowl champion coach. But if UNC is playing in a, you know, upper tier bowl game and possibly even the play, I'll be very impressed.
Stuart, Gavin asked you about Belichick, but are there other college coaches that you're hearing are getting NFL looks? We've seen some with Iowa State, with Campbell and stuff like that, but are there other guys that we're not hearing about that could be getting some looks?
Well, yeah, Matt Campbell has been reported. He's interviewing with the Bears or has interviewed with the Bears. You know, Ryan Day is the one I'm curious about. There's really nothing he can, as long as Ohio State's alive in the playoffs, there can't be any interviews. But I'm very curious to see what happens, whether the season ends tomorrow or on January 20th. I'm just surprised NFL teams keep talking to college coaches. It just never works. It's such a different sport. And, Urban Meyer was, you know, one of the two best college coaches in the country for a long time. And it was a spectacular failure. Nick Saban's the greatest college football coach of all time. He lasted 2 years. You know, Matt Rhule was gone almost as soon as he got to Carolina. So I'm surprised that's even still a thing that our path that people are talking about. But, you know, if they're interviewing Matt Campbell, certainly that means it's still a possibility.
Do you think Steve Sarkisian would have NFL interest still?
I think so. All these guys want to be at the top of their profession. If an NFL team came and said, we want to talk to you about being your head coach, I don't think he could say no to that, or to that possibility. But I don't know like what his stock is considered to be in terms of NFL teams. I do think he's a great, great offensive coach, and he's done a great job building this program.
Yeah, to your point, I mean, it was kind of rough there 6-7 years ago in Atlanta for him. Stuart, we appreciate your time so much. Enjoy the games, and if you need anything here in DFW, just let us know.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Cheers. There he goes, Stuart Mandel of The Athletic, talking college football here with you in the G-Bag Nation semifinal underway tonight with Notre Dame against Penn State. Okay, we talk with Gojo back there in the 3 o'clock hour if you want more college football content. But coming up next, it's Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Buddy, what's the subject today?
Let's do it. It's National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, the top 10 police movies of all time. What's your favorite cop movie? That's next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks to Stuart Mandel for joining us talking college football. We have a mystery guest coming up at 5:20. I think you're going to like it. Okay, stay tuned, Tolos. It'll be quite a joy. Chuck Wagon's coming up at 6 o'clock. I think that's about it for our guests here for the rest of the evening, though. We're locked in and excited, and it's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20.
Thank you very much, General. It is National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Certainly appreciate everybody who's out there helping keep these roads drivable for us out there. I think we're getting a little bit of melting out here in Plano. Just checked outside, and it looks like things are starting to get a little slushy a little bit. Maybe we'll get some more snow as the night goes on, but everybody stay safe out there. A lot of good police movies, I will say. 877-881-1053. Quickly, I did see the Rangers on your home of Texas Rangers baseball did officially trade Matt Festa to the Chicago Cubs in exchange for cash consideration. They also have agreed to a deal with Leody Taveras to avoid arbitration. A person with direct knowledge confirmed to John Heyman, Sean McFarland reporting that as well. So it looks like it'll be $4.75 million this year to keep Leody Taveras in a Texas Rangers uniform. So there's some Ranger updates for you.
Now we just need to figure out how to keep him out of the lineup. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, platoon guy, right? Just say if there's an injury, you put him out there. Like good that. Defensive glove. But, yeah, I don't know. I think in a perfect world, he's definitely not one of your starting three. Maybe able to give some guys a day off here and there. But I hear you on that, General. It's just
and he's got he does a lot of things well, Woolchuck. But I think if you're trying to win a World Series and he's your center fielder, you got to get lucky, as he did a couple of times, you know, in that run. Or maybe you did.
I'll never forget when he climbed that wall. Never forget when he climbed that
You need
that wall.
Me on that wall. You want me on that wall. Yeah. Damn right. Hell of a call from our guy Hixie. All right, let's do it. Top 10 best police movies, and there are a lot. Lucius, I go back to you there in the Pimp Cup there. What are you thinking when it comes to the police movies?
Ooh, I'm in my bag right there, bro. I'm asking you a question with that. Yeah, you feel me?
Yeah, like 1984.
Yeah. Serpico. Have you seen Serpico with Al Pacino?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
Gosh, dang it.
That's a really good one. Training Day is also good, of course.
Yeah, Training Day's fantastic.
I do like the Miami Vice movie with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And what's my man? It's the Penguin.
Colin.
Yeah, Bill. I do like that one, bro. Bad Boys. Come on, there's a whole lot out
Bad
here,
Bad Boys,
man.
Dude. There's so many.
A lot.
There are so many here. I mean, honorable mentions. Serpico is one.
RoboCop. Wasn't that filmed here in Dallas?
Yes.
It was. Yeah. It was.
Crank that RoboCop.
RoboCop. No doubt.
Crank that RoboCop.
I'll give you my number one. I don't know if it counts, but The Equalizer, you know, he was a retired cop.
Okay. There you go.
It's my favorite Denzel movie. It's my favorite cop movie.
I love that. Other honorable mentions we've got here, and there are a bunch of goodies that did not quite make the top 10. Speed is an honorable mention. You've got the Rush Hour movies as an honorable mention.
Gosh, Rush Hour is so good.
So good. L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, I like one. Russell Crowe, right?
Yep. Russell Crowe. Yep. Point Break gets an honorable mention. Swayze and Reeves.
Yeah, bro.
You said Bad Boys already. That's an honorable mention. Beverly Hills Cop. And Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry. It's from my era.
There you go. Clint Eastwood. Dirty Harry. Yeah, you can have that one, Brian.
What was that gun he used? What is Dirty Harry's
44 Magnum.
It's a nice piece.
Yeah.
Blow a whole door down, bro. Yeah.
Yep.
Boom!
Yeah.
The Fugitive.
A little bit unnecessary, but
The Fugitive. Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones, right? Together?
Yep.
I did not kill my wife.
Yeah. He comes in at number 10.
Man with the prosthetic arm.
Yeah. Yes.
It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
Such a great movie.
A Quentin Martin production. That was the original show. That's what, yeah.
Walchuk, give me some Lethal Weapon action. Give me National Security. Martin Lawrence is in the bag.
Yes. National Security is... slept on, Eric. That's a good call right there. Silence of the Lambs comes in at number 9.
Oh, wow.
8 is The Untouchables.
Oh, Kevin Costner.
8, 1987, Sean Connery and Robert De Niro as well. That is a
Elliot Ness.
That's an incredible lineup. Heat comes in at number 7.
Oh, yeah. All day.
6 is Die Hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I should have thought about that one.
NYPD Detective John McClane. 5, we've got,
Super Troopers?
Super Troopers, dude. Okay, Super Troopers was down here in the honorable mentions list, and I'm glad that you said that because Super Troopers deserves love. Yeah. That is a cult hilarious classic. Film. It is. Yeah. Lethal Weapon is in here, Lucius says.
I'm getting too
5.
Old for this.
Dude, when Mel Gibson is, isn't he like handcuffed or whatever, and he's in the water and he has to just
pop his shoulder out. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That was cool.
4 is Training Day with Denzel. 3, The Departed.
Departed.
With Martin Scorsese. Mm. Yes, because you do have an undercover cop there in Leo who's having to figure out that criminal underworld. I mean, The Departed, that's going to make every single list if it can. 2 is 7.
Okay.
7 is so damn good. If you haven't seen it, what's in the box? Yeah. You got to. You got to.
It's not Frosted Flakes.
No. Definitely not for us.
I feel like American Gangster could be a cop movie, dog.
Yes.
Because he's working with the cops at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. American Gangster was on here down at number 19.
Look at me! I mean, I
Big
guess...
Big brain on Lucius.
Couldn't you throw in, like, the Fast and the Furious stuff? Because Paul Walker was...
Yeah, well, The Rock is part of law enforcement. So he would fit in here, absolutely.
He's a cop in that movie?
Yeah, Paul Denzel's Walker? A cop.
Oh,
or not The Rock. The Rock is
and he goes undercover or something like that? Am I tripping?
I think
are you talking about The Rock or Paul Walker in it?
I'm talking about, not The Rock, Vin Diesel.
Yeah. No, Vin Diesel is not a cop.
Oh, okay.
But Paul Walker was. Mm-hmm. So he was like doing the thing where he was kind of like going inside on it. But then he ends up flipping because he falls in love with Vin Diesel's sister or whatever, and so then he joins the family once.
Oh, he got in too deep.
Yeah.
Oh, in too deep. That's another one. In too deep. Oh my God.
In too deep. Yes.
Back to the hotel.
Naked Gun on this list by any chance?
Naked Gun was an honorable mention. It was down in the 30s.
Oh, Brian. You did say that. Okay. Did you say it? Love.
No, I didn't say it. Oh, I didn't say it. I mean, there's so many. I'm leaving a few out. I'm sure the text is.
Naked Gun was
Leslie Nielsen is amazing.
He is so funny.
He's so great.
The A-17.
Should the Batman movie be in here?
Ooh.
Well, yeah, you got Commissioner Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
I mean, The Dark Knight would be number 1 for my money.
Yeah.
Kindergarten Cop, oh my gosh, who is your daddy and what does he do?
Yeah.
That is a fantastic film. Highwaymen, Beverly Hills Cop getting texted
Highwaymen
in.
Highwaymen was good.
Oh, Blue Streak from the 940.
Yeah.
We got a lot of good texts coming in here. 21 Jump Street getting texted in. But number 1, and this is a slept on movie, it is fantastic. If you haven't seen it, it came out in 2012, kind of put David Ayer on the map. End of Watch.
Oh, yeah.
With Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Pena. That the ending to that movie is going to have you like, what the hell just happened? That's a phenomenal film.
That's when they say when a first responder passes, right? End of Watch.
Yes.
All right.
What about Hot Fuzz?
Ooh, Hot Fuzz is a good comedy. Yeah. Yeah. That can fit.
Well, thank you, Walchuk.
Thank you.
Nice job here. The top 10 at 420. Today at 440 there because we were chatting college football with Stuart Mandel.
Sorry. Somebody said Donnie Brasco. We did not say that.
Ooh, we did not.
Johnny Depp was in his bag, bro.
French Connection was another one.
French
probably
Connection. Come on.
The Fugazi.
Let's Be Cops is funny from the 469. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All righty, here we go. Expressway's coming up at 5:20. We're now just 45 minutes away from LA Live, but Chief has an addition to the finest coming up next. Buddy, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we got updates from the coaching carousel, and Peter King has the new team for Aaron Rodgers next in the nation.